Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Brewers take another series. It's becoming routine at this point for Milwaukee, and doing it against one of the hottest teams in the National League, in the Philadelphia Phillies, and in doing it in shutout fashion. 4-0 over Philadelphia today. With Jerry Augustine on the program, I'm Dominic Catronio. Kyle Harrison earns another win. Abner Uribe and Aaron Ashby were great out of the bullpen. But the story of today's game, oh yeah, Jackson Churio hit a leadoff homer. But the story of today's game, it's the Blake Perkins game. Off the deck, out of nowhere, Augie. I mean, for somebody who's had as many trials and tribulations as Perk has had at the plate this year, going up and down between AAA, didn't make the opening day roster, then suddenly called back for Churio's injury, and has not been himself, to say the least. To have a moment in the sun like he did today, I'm just thrilled for the dude, and obviously I'm thrilled for the team.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the Brewers needed something. They're facing a really good pitcher, but and tough to hit. They got the leadoff home run from Churio. But, you know, Blake Perkins at the plate today just looked like a totally different hitter. He was very relaxed. Looked like he was staying back on the ball, waiting for his pitch. Got a pitch and chances, made a couple mistakes, and he made him pay for it.
You know, when I look at Perk's season and his role of just stay available and you're generally the last man used off the bench, given he's a corner outfielder now, he's a pinch runner now, the game that really jumped out to me was actually Monday night in Las Vegas. And I talked about this in the moment where here's Perk, who's played once in the last week, right?
That's right.
And he comes off the bench, say, hey, you got a pinch run for Vaughn. And then the very next pitch, he scores from first on a double to left field, like doing his role. That's a skill. That's an ability to be ready when your number is called. And today, the irony is his number is called against arguably one of the best pitchers in the National League, and he owns that pitcher in the National League. He is now 6-for-7 in his career against Christopher Sanchez, including a clutch 3-run homer that came back in the fourth inning.
You know, you look at the things that a person has to do, a player has to do to want to be stay in the big leagues, and what you can do to help your ball club. I mean, there's so many things that he can do. He's an excellent outfielder. He can play any of the outfield positions. He runs the bases extremely well. If there's a guy that they need to run the bases and pinch run, he's the guy that they go to. And you know, at times at the plate, he'll put up a good at bat. He'll go up there and give you the good at bat. And today, I mean, you look at a guy that wants to go in and just do a good job. He had confidence against this guy, but I like the way he was patient at the plate, and he made Sanchez do what you have to do to Sanchez to be successful. Make him want. Get the ball up, make a mistake with a breaking ball. He did that, and he made him hurt for it. And I'll tell you what, a big home run changed the whole complexion of the game. And today is the Blake Perkins day because he had a great day.
You know, the stat that jumps out to me is not so much the 8 hits off of Christopher Sanchez today. It's the fact the Brewers only had 3 strikeouts against him.
That's right.
I think that's what's most impressive, because I talked to Don Mattingly before today's game. You know, what makes him so dynamic? What makes him great? He said, well, we know he's going to go deep into the game, and he has the ability to get swing and miss at will. And, well, he didn't get swing and miss at will today. He was single-digit swings, or 10 swings and misses total today, not getting through 6 innings. The Brewers kind of took away his superpower, like you're talking about. They did not chase the pitches downstairs that he wanted them to chase at. They lived if they were called strikes at the very bottom of the zone, because the game plan was do not get beat below the zone. If you're swinging upstairs and chasing, that's fine. That means you're going toward the scouting report, where if it's up, it's a mistake. And the Brewers tagged 2 homers off of Christopher Sanchez today and 4 runs off of him. A lot of loud contact in that first inning, too. It was a very steady and strong game plan today, exemplified by Blake Perkins, but up and down the lineup.
Well, it sure was. You know, when you get a pitcher like him, you got a guy who's got a good sinking fastball, and he's got that changeup to match. You get the great release point. He pitches off his changeup. The changeup is his pitch. He gets you in situations. He can locate this changeup in both sides of the plate. And if he gets you in a situation, he knows how to use it and where to put it. When you get those style of pitchers on the mound, you get those guys, type of guys on the mound, you got to make them get the ball up. You got to make them change it. And you got to be willing to go the opposite way. You got to stay back and let the ball travel. I thought the Brewers had a great game plan. I thought they did it right from the beginning of the game. They made him work at what he needed to do to be successful because he was trying to get the Brewers to be more aggressive on his changeup. And they just weren't. They were staying off the changeup. They were staying off that sinking fastball away. And then he made some mistakes with his breaking ball. And when you make mistakes up in the zone and you get that ball over the middle part of the plate, that breaking ball over the middle plate, you can put a good swing on it. That's exactly what the Brewers did today.
There were 19 swings on the changeup today from Christopher Sanchez. Only two swings and misses on the pitch. So exactly what you're talking about. They weren't fooled by it. They were fouling it off. They were putting it in play. Yeah, they were hitting grounders sometimes, but they were also hitting the ball hard. And it all started from Jackson Churio. We had to start with Blake Perkins going 2-for-4 in today's game. Two of the hits off of Sanchez. But Churio really got the party started with another leadoff homer. He's now got 5 homers his last 5 games. And his second career leadoff homer. Here's the list of two guys he's hit leadoff homers off of. Christopher Sanchez today and Garrett Crochet against the Red Sox last year. That's pretty good company for the 22-year-old.
Yeah, he goes up there. You know, he's in one of those zones. You know, it's so fun to watch him because every once in a while he'll get out of the zone and he'll be chasing pitches and be going off the going away on the pitches, or you get the ball up and in on him, make him look at that ball and then get him away. But he's in one of those zones right now where he's just seeing the ball very well, just going with pitch, being patient at the plate. And when he gets his pitch, it doesn't make any difference where he hits it. He's going to hit it hard. He's going to put it in play. And like you just said, in this series alone, 7-for-14 with 3 home runs and 6 RBIs. Pretty darn good.
He is starting to reach that superstardom level that folks in Milwaukee have known was coming eventually and that he was going to get to this level at some point. Now, I think, you know, despite missing the first month of the season, A lot of folks maybe in the national media might have forgotten about him. You know, he did play in the World Baseball Classic too, but now to see Churio start to tap into that potential that led to the Brewers to giving him the guaranteed deal before his big league debut. You know, we're only in year 3 of this deal that can be stretched out all the way to 10 years. You start to, your eyes get a little big to think about, okay, if Churio's leading off and you've still got Bryce for another 3 seasons and you've still got Madej on the way, you've got Pratt on the way, you've got Lara on the way, you've got other studs on this team that are under team control, like, yeah, this is exactly what they're talking about, to see this core forming on top of what they have on the pitching side.
That's right. They're just, you know, when you look at what can be done, and, you know, if you look at even this team today and you look at this lineup, that top four of the lineup, when you have Yelly leading off and Churio batting second, Terang third, and Contreras fourth, I don't know if anybody in Major League Baseball you can go up against and have a top four guys that you know at any one time one of those guys can pick you up and carry you for that day. They are just so good at it. They give you good at-bats. Even if they don't go out and get a hit every day, they give you good at-bats. And, you know, with the youth of this organization has, with all these kids coming up, like you just said, wow. It's the future is so bright, and you look at these things that are going to start falling into place. You can see the Pratts and see these other guys coming up. It's going to be pretty special to watch.
Well, it's not just the future. The present is bright too. Whoa. This team is the third best record in baseball.
You and got
it can,
that.
It can create a conversation about power rankings later on in the program. But we do got to mention, the Brewers just shut out the Phillies for the second time this series. We haven't even mentioned the pitching yet. So we got to talk about Kyle Harrison and the rest of the staff. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Got to jump in with some breaking news here. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Brewers win 4-0, and we're all very excited about that, and we'll talk about the pitching for the most part in this segment, but it's funny, we just talked about the fact that, you know, the future is bright, and the future might be now. Sequence just shared right now on social media by Spencer Michaelis, who does a great job. You should subscribe to his Patreon, by the way, for Brewer Fanatic, talking about the Brewers farm. Cooper Pratt, hug watch down in AAA Nashville. You know, when you're getting pulled in the 6th inning and you're hugging everybody in the dugout, I'm not reporting it, but I can tell you what Jeff Hem said, the AAA broadcaster of the Nashville Sounds, and there's a lot of smiles and there's a lot of hugs. That means one thing and one thing only. Cooper Pratt might be here on Tuesday in the big leagues.
Well, that's going to be interesting. You know, there's so much been, this organization has been looking forward to Cooper Pratt finally getting the opportunity to play in the big leagues. And, he's playing for a great guy with in Rick Sweet. And then talking with Rick Sweet in fantasy camp, he said, this guy just, he just has all the tools and all the abilities to play in the big league. So it's going to be interesting. I think there was just some seasoning that they wanted to do with him. So he said, it's not going to be long. Maybe this is the time.
I think that the Brewers are in a position right now where, honestly, and this is going to sound very blunt, and I say this before, what's the worst that can happen, right? I mean,
that's right.
They have the third best record in baseball with a total of 3 home runs from their left side infielders between Hamilton, Ortiz, and Renjifo.
That's right.
What's the worst that can happen if Cooper Pratt comes up and plays, you know, 5 times a week? I think the time is now to find out what you got. And Cooper Pratt has obviously already signed that extension to stick around for this team for a lot while longer. And I also want to get out in front of it here. When you think about Cooper Pratt, and you may be looking at his AAA numbers as we speak, thinking about, well, wait, what a minute. Why are his numbers so low? I thought this dude was a can't-miss prospect. First of all, he's one of the youngest players in AAA right now. He is only 21 years old. He'll turn 22 in August. Second of all, a .244 batting average and a .745 OPS in AAA, again, as a 21-year-old, is really darn good. And mind you, April across minor league baseball was freezing cold. So everybody's offense was down in the month of April. In May, he was hitting over .300 with an over .900 OPS. So he's starting to correct some, you know, trying to hide that poor April given how hard it was of a hitting environment. Cooper is a big league shortstop right now. And I know you've talked about this with Rick Sweet, that, you know, when I watch Cooper Pratt, whenever, one of my goals every time I go to spring training is I want to watch the guys that I'm not able to watch every day, right?
That's right.
And I watch as much Cooper Pratt as I can. And I'm telling you right now, Cooper Pratt might be the best defender in the National League when he arrives. I am that serious. I think he is a big league shortstop with gold glove, platinum glove ceiling is what we're talking about with this guy.
That's a good observation, Dom. You know, I watch him in spring training and just to see, you know, you take these young players and you get the list of names of really great players that you want to watch. And I know when all the times that I did the pre and post game shows with the Brewers, when I went to spring training, I was there almost the whole spring training. And all of a sudden when Craig Council, before he became manager, he was a minor director and he came down, he'd all see me. I'm down by the minor league guys, down by the minor league guys. Well, you pick out names of guys that you think are going to have a potential of being in the big leagues in a certain amount of time, and you go watch them. Well, Cooper Pratt's one of those guys. You go watch him. You watch the way he handles himself, not only when he was playing for the big league team, but when he was sent down to the AAA team, how he went about his job the same way that he went when he was in the big leagues. Yeah, the stardom of being in the big leagues is really important. It's where you want to be. But to go down and continue that job to get better each and every game, to know that, you know, you do your job, you're going to get the opportunity. And I'm going to tell you, it's not far off, and it might come true for Cooper Pratt come soon.
So congratulations to Cooper Pratt. Get up here safe and sound, and we will be talking to him potentially on Tuesday before the Guardians come to town. Now back to today's game. A 4-0 victory over the Phils. Kyle Harrison, you know, there's two grades you can give for Kyle today, going 6 shutout innings, only struck out 3, but he got the job done. He did not walk a batter. He did have 1 hit by pitch. He only allowed 3 hits today, 2 hits today, a pair of single, or actually it's 3 hits right now, but one of those should be an error. It's 2 hits today. So there's the two grades that you can give. What was his stuff and what was his performance? And I think they're different because the performance was an A+. The stuff was like a C+ today.
That's right.
And the fact that this is his floor getting back to sea level, that's some very impressive stuff.
You know, it's funny you said you got to get that double grades. I really like that. It's something different, but it really was today. When you look at the outcome, what he was able to do, it's fantastic. He was able to make adjustments on the mound with the Billy's, the stuff that he had early in the ballgame. He didn't have the serve, didn't have our sweeper. He didn't have that. He didn't have his changeup. It wasn't where he wanted to be. I don't think it was probably till the fourth inning, maybe.
He only threw
inning.
3 changeups today. Yeah.
And that he could get him. But, you know, locating the ball. There's a time when you're a pitcher and you throw the ball and you feel like you have confidence that you can make the ball move in certain spots. You can go to different locations. You can pitch with. I remember a couple games when I went out there. Didn't have this stuff. All of a sudden, you start using your stuff. You start getting the idea and you start saying, you know, I got to have confidence in what I do. I really have to compliment Gary Sanchez today.
Mm-hmm.
Taking this young man and saying, you know what? It's not sharp right away. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to help you as much as we can. We're going to locate the the ball. We're going to put the ball in spots that are still as tough to hit for the opponents. We're going to keep them off stride. And when it comes, it's going to just make it that much better. I thought Gary Sanchez did an outstanding job of locating pitch today. He didn't have the great breaking ball that he wanted, but I tell you what, the location of the pitches that he needed to have was excellent.
And the fastball velo wasn't quite there like we've That's seen right. from Harrison, but I think there's two reasons for that. Number one, look, he's coming off of a short start at sea level. You sort of have to rebuild up, even though he still threw almost 70 pitches in that game and not getting out of the third inning. That wears on your body. And number two, the other thing about today's game and about this lineup is the way that the Phillies are so aggressive and that they swing early in counts. I mean, we saw a lot of first two pitch swings from them, a lot of foul balls. And when you only are really pitching, the phrase, I know you've heard this before, you're pitching naked when you're That's only right. pitching with your fastball.
That's right.
But yet, for some reason, no one's able to see it. And he incorporated a true sinker today, which is not something we've seen so far. He wasn't afraid to use it to lefties to really to shatter some bats. I mean, I thought that Kyle Harrison today, honestly, this was just as good of any of those 12 strikeout games because he did it without his best stuff. Anybody can pitch, and I know you can speak to this, Augie, anybody can pitch when they feel their best. But the majority of the time, you're not going to feel your best in the major leagues. You got to find out what you're made of on days like today, and Kyle Harrison really showed, hey, I'm a 1-2 punch because Miz is the best pitcher in the National League right now, but he'd be a one on a lot of other teams.
Oh, no question about it. You know, they say there's five times you go out and pitch on the mound. One time you go out there, you got what you want. You can throw it. It doesn't make any. They can call anything, and you're going to throw the ball where you want. It's going to be, you're going to have one of those games. You're going to have three of those games where it's kind of in between. You kind of got it, you don't have it, but you make something of it. And then there's that one time where you're just struggling to get it. And boy, if you do something really good, you can make something out of where you don't have something. Today was one of those days where he didn't have it. But I'll tell you what, you said it earlier, the sinking fastball. Mm-hmm. He used it on the inside part of the plate, the right side of the plate. He used it very effectively. He went there. He showed it that he could expand the strike zone. He was still expanding the strike zone with one pitch. That's really a very, very good pitching job. When you can take the ball, you can sink it one way, run it the other way, and expand the strike zone. And I think that's what he did against these guys. These guys didn't know whether they're going to say, is he going to come in on me? Is he going to go away on me? I'll tell you one thing he did. He used the entire strike zone, and he expanded the strike zone with that fastball and that sinking fastball and made him very effective.
Yeah, the way that he was able to you know, duck, dodge, dip, dive, you
That's
know,
right.
dodge. It was very impressive against this lineup. Another thing, this is kind of an overall series note too, but impacts today's game as well. We talk about Philadelphia, and the way I previewed them in Thursday's Brewers Weekly is, you know, I was sort of direct in my fact saying, look, once I get past Brandon Marsh, I'm not scared of anybody in this lineup. Now, granted, yesterday they made me eat my words, but aside from that, I mean, Schwarber, Turner, Harper, 1-2-3 in the order. They went and combined 6-for-35 in this series. That's a 174 batting average with zero extra base hits. The Brewers kept the top third in control, and you could argue 27 innings in this series, the Brewers outplayed the Phillies for 26 of those innings.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think when you look at the way the game was played, the way they played it, the way they ran the bases, the way they did it, I shouldn't say running the bases, but the way they played each inning, they did play really well. And you got to compliment the pitching staff. This Philadelphia Phillies team can swing the bat. They can score some runs. And you take the guys that you just said, you keep those guys off the bases, that's the whole key. If you can get those guys, and I'm going to tell you what, they look like the Brewer pitchers at times made those guys look like they were puzzled. Like they did at the at-bats are going like, where are they coming in? Some of the swings they took weren't usually the swings you see out of a Bryce Harper and those guys. But I'll tell you, I thought the pitching staff did a really good job. I thought we pitched the ball really well. They're a good baseball team. You know that they're going to be there in the end. And I'll tell you what, the Brewers showed up and said again, you know what? We need to win this series, and they went out and did it.
They did a great job today. That's our who's hot, who's cold. The hot is absolutely these Milwaukee Brewers pitchers. Brewers Extra Innings rolls on. It's brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Sider makes it easy. Get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home. With short and long-term financing options available, you can call or visit Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Families helping families since 1912. Want to get to some of these texts, and I want to, you know, kind of put out a let's project here a little bit as the Brewers get another series victory. Where does this series and what this next week can it show about where the Brewers should be on any sort of power rankings list? We talk about that with Jerry Augustine next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Quite a day to be a Brewers fan. You got your top infield prospect, you know, in AAA, that is, getting called up. Jesus Madey, of course, is the number one prospect in all of baseball. But you win a series against the Phillies. You've got Jacob Mizrowski riding a high after nearly throwing a perfect game on Friday night. You've got a rotation that is patchworked right now, but you've got a true 1-2 punch in Miz and Harrison. Brandon Woodruff's going to go on a rehab assignment this week, then maybe is back against the Braves next weekend, and at worst is at back against Cincinnati. And then, on top of all of that, your bullpen got some rest, and you get another off day tomorrow, getting ready to go against the Cleveland Guardians. So my question to you is, our buy or sell here, Augie? I think that it's a very clear 1-2 of L.A. in Atlanta, right? I mean, Atlanta's the best record in baseball. L.A. has already won a series against the Brewers, and obviously, in order to take the crown, you got to beat the crown, and the Brewers didn't do that earlier this year. They still got swept, of course, last year in the CS. But I think having swept the Yankees, now have taken a series against the Phillies, you know, they're the victims of their own schedule. They haven't faced a lot of other, you know, quote-unquote contending teams, and they swept the Cubs at their place, too. I think the Brewers firmly supplanted their plaque. They are the third best team in baseball. It just so happens that the top two teams are also in the National League.
I agree with you. I think when you look at the game of baseball, you look at where you are, you have to put in all order. You got to put in order your pitching staff. I think the Brewers have the best pitching staff in all of baseball. I don't think there's a lot of good teams out there, but when you look at what this team has been able to do, what they can throw at you with this young starters and performing the way they are and have that bullpen, and you know, they still, when they get Jared Caney back and they get everybody in the bullpen where they want them, they're going to be a force in the bullpen. Then you look on the defense. There's a lot of ways you look at this ball club where they can play a variable number of players, a number of players, still go out there, and they're as good defensively as any team in baseball. They just play so well in a game of baseball. And offensively, I'm going to tell you, doing all the little things. You're scoring with runners in scoring position. You get them with two outs and scoring runs and all the little things you have to do. And yeah, they're going to have signs of power where they're going to drive the ball at a ballpark. But putting the ball in play is so important. And that's one thing this team has done a very, very good job. They're scoring runs. They're getting off to good starts. And I tell you what, you get late in the ballgame. I think when you get late in the ballgame, that's where this team really shines, is they score a lot of runs late in the ballgame. That's usually one of those little things that you look at this team, and all of a sudden something pops out. End the ballgame, the last three innings, I'll tell you what, they're not out of any ballgame because they can score some runs.
Well, looking at a few texts, this is a good one that is certainly true, that the Brewers win a game without Bryce Terang,
that's
without
right.
Christian Yelich, without Jake Bowers, because here's, you know, you're facing a dynamic lefty, and yeah, was it unexpected for Blake Perkins to do what he did today? Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's never done it before.
That's right.
If you're fourth outfielder, and I know he's hitting a .120 right now, that's not the Blake Perkins that I know. He's talented from the right side. He's somebody that he has great bat speed. He has great underlying numbers against left-handed pitching. That's a good role player. You throw in the fact that Jackson Churio is shining. Jake Bowers has been a borderline all-star this season. That since May 12th, I pointed this out again on Thursday's Brewers Weekly. But again, since May 12th, when Christian Yelich returned to the starting lineup when he was activated off the injured list, this includes today, the Brewers have the fourth best slugging percentage in baseball. They're at .442. Their OPS is .790. That's third best in baseball. This is not an offense that is, oh, they're just slapping it around and getting lucky. Like, no, there's some pop on this team right now, and to finally have the personnel around to do so, you hit two homers today, makes you believe, okay, this can stick around for a little while longer.
Well, you know, you make a mistake, they can hurt you. And I tell you, they're playing a really good ballpark, and American Family Field here in Milwaukee, and the ball drives. You hit it in the gaps, the ball flies out of the ballpark. They hit in a good hitter's ballpark, and what they can do is they can put this thing on you. But you know, it's just that, you know, you can look at this ball club, and you know, you look at the players that you can put out there. I like this team because it's just not 8 or 9 or 12 deep. it's 26 deep. And that, you know, probably even deeper than that from all the talking we do from the players in the minors. They got guys that come up that can come up and perform. These people know that they're all a part of this team and they all need to perform at their best level to help this club win. They all understand it. Each one's important. And you know, one thing that's really neat to see, they all get excited for each other. And when you have a ball club that of 26 guys, 30 guys, whatever number it is, that get excited about doing one thing is going out and playing steady baseball each and every day, win that day and then worry about tomorrow, win series, then worry about the next series. I tell you, that's pretty special.
I agree. A couple of texts here. That one was from Nick there talking about the guys that weren't in the lineup today. Alex from Oshkosh. At the game, sellout crowd, and everyone, including me, heading home happy with a series win. This one from the 715, what a job of the pitching staff all weekend. Ahead in the head-to-head standings, they held Harper hitless. Marsh and Trey Turner only had one hit in the series. Murph benched himself with his hip, of course, and they had the luxury of resting Yelly, Bowers, Frelick, and Terang. Plus, with the off day tomorrow, so you get the double-stacked off day. It's also family day here at the ballpark, too. Always a fun day for everybody around. All the kids and friends and family are running around out there in right field right now, hanging out as a team, a very family-oriented organization, the Brewers are. Nick from New Berlin, you know, odd question, but what would Cooper Pratt's number be if he does get called up to the show? That's a great question. A lot of the good numbers are taken, and I believe he was, like 13 in AAA. That's currently held by Luis Renifo, but we shall wait and see because I'm sure they would give him a number that he's going to keep moving forward. What are the Brewers' chances of getting Tarek Skubal? This one from Andrew in Janesville. Look, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The trade deadline. You kind of assess right now of what you're going to need. That's what June is for. July is for finding out who is gonna have guys available, yeah. And then everything happens right on the deadline on August 3rd. So, if I could put a percentage on the chances for Tarek Skubal right now, which will become the scariest pitching staff in the National League overnight
by far,
I would put the percentage chance as 2%.
I agree.
I agree that it's not about the Brewers not having enough to make the deal done. It's about will the Tigers actually make him available because the American League is so mediocre. They're six games back of a playoff spot, right, despite everything that's gone wrong for Detroit.
Yeah, you know, you look at it's interesting when you look at that American League. Anybody can jump back in a hurry and be a part of a playoff team. And once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. And you having a Skubal on your ball club is pretty nice to have. So, you know, we got 23 games left till we get to the All-Star break. I think that's going to tell a tale. Guys are going to be do some evaluations. The Brewers got some tough schedule at 17 of those games inside the division. It's going to be a real interesting time for everybody between now and especially when you look at that American League because so many teams are still in. What's going to happen in 23 games? A lot of things can happen in 23 games. So it's going to get interesting. I think we'll be talking in 3 weeks and we may be talking differently. But right now, I agree with you. Skubal will probably stay put because you have an opportunity. He's a guy you want on your ball club.
You know, I mean, looking around the rest of the division lost today. Well, granted, you know, they're two outs away from the Cubs losing today to the Giants, but everyone else lost today. And the Brewers continue. Again, we don't really care about standings in June, but we're just pointing out the fact that by the end of the night, the Brewers are going to have a five-game lead on the Cardinals and a 7.5-game lead on the Cubs, and the next time the Brewers are in this ballpark will be against those Chicago Cubs
for the first
time this season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Those games, I think you come up, we always talk, no matter what year you do it or how many games you play, I know the schedule is different now. You don't play inside division like you used to, but divisional games are extremely important. And boy, the next 23 games at 17 in them, it's going to be really important just to see where we are. And Brewers just continue playing like they are. It's going to get really interesting. But being at where they are right now, they're in a really good place. They're playing good, solid baseball, and they're taking one series at a time.
And to get ahead of it, too, next weekend, Father's Day weekend, you get the Braves.
That's right.
If you're going to be racing for that final, you know, bye where every game matters, given you've already lost a series to the Dodgers, now's an opportunity to take a series to the Braves next weekend where if you end up tied at the end of the season in record, it will go to the team that has the head-to-head. And the Brewers won't see the Braves again until August for the Little League Classic Series with two games here and one game in Williamsport. So, I mean, I know it's a cliche to say, oh, you know, there's another one tomorrow and every game, you know, you can lose a couple. But, like, also, every game does matter. There's a balance there of, like,
yeah,
well,
sure
which one do you want to care about, right? And Atlanta coming up next week and will be one of those series that we care
about. I just think this ball club loves when they go up against the teams that are they say are above them, the Braves, the Dodgers, Phillies, when you're playing these good teams. It's just like when you go out and you have the opportunity to pitch against Terrison pitching against Sanchez, one of the best in all baseball. Man, your game just gets more exciting. You get more into it. You dial it up a little bit. I think this ball club plays that same way. They like playing those teams. They want to make a statement, and that's the way they make a statement. It's not only going out and winning every series. It's when you have that opportunity to play a team that's playing very well that you let them know, hey, you're a team to be reckoned with.
By the way, a 1-12 run differential is second best in the National League for the Brewers, with two shutout victories this weekend against the Philadelphia Phillies. Miz's near perfect game on Friday. Today, Kyle Harrison, quality start. One thing in common between those two, aside from the runs allowed, of course, the other thing is they didn't walk a batter. Zero walks in the
strike
two wins.
Throwers, that's so nice to see. It's something in game of baseball you really don't take note of. You take note of only when there's a lot of walks. But these guys go out there. This team goes out there a lot and doesn't give in. They don't give free base runners. And, you know, when you do that, you make them work for it. And these two players especially have done a great job.
It's been fantastic. And Augie, appreciate you talking as always. I know we'll probably talk to you at least one more time this week as the Guardians come to town on Tuesday and Wednesday. Enjoy your off day and go get some sunshine in, all right?
Good weekend. Great weekend against the Phillies. And I'll tell you what, the Cleveland Indians come in. They're fussy to play with because they got some good pitching and they just come at you offensively. So it's going to be a good series coming up.
They play a lot like the Brewers, quite
yes,
frankly.
They do.
Run
yes,
prevention,
they do.
And then they pop one and you blink and all of a sudden it's 4-0. So should be a fun one and good to see old friend Stephen Vogt on the other side. Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher, joining us on 620 WTMJ. That's our buy or sell segment. It's brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, WendorfTeam.kw.com. Take a quick lap around the league. Try to understand what's going on with the crew in relation to the rest of the National League. They got Mario Kart going up on the Jumbotron now for Family Day, so we might have to do some play-by-play of that as well. Back after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
It's actually quite the debate here for player of the game. Of who do you want to pick? Blake Perkins, of course, 2 hits, 3-run homer. Kyle Harrison, 6 shutout innings. Both are very worthy candidates. Our player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Kind of going down the box score here real quick, though, for the Brewers. Some things that you may have missed, some other things that I wanted to point out in today's game. Aaron Ashby going multiple innings, you know, faced 7 batters, struck out 3 of them. One of them reached on an error. 2 shutout frames for him. He continues to roll. In case you're wondering about Abner Uribe's suspension, you know, I tried to seek out some clarity on that earlier today. And the word is they are still waiting on the appeal. It's actually been a really slow process. It's taken almost 3 weeks since the incident first occurred. But, yeah, it is still in limbo for the appeal. He is appealing a 1-game suspension and a fine. And we'll see what actually happens here for when he has to miss a game, if he has to miss a game for the Brewers. Some other things down the box score today. Andrew Vaughn came back down to earth 0-for-3 with a walk today and a strikeout, but he did hit a couple of balls hard that didn't get anything to show for it. William Contreras, want to point out his hustle in the 4th inning, which also then was followed up by a mistake. Before Perkins hit that 3-run homer, the inning began with an 0-2 ground ball to short by Contreras that, by all accounts and purposes, Trey Turner needs to make that play. Every shortstop needs to make that play. And kudos to William for hustling out of the box. But even if he's hustling out of the box, Trey Turner should have thrown him out. But because he hustles, he gets a base hit. It was a poor throw. It pulled Harper off the bag because he got rushed. He didn't expect William to be running. And that starts the inning off. Now, granted, with runners on the corners, William made a terrible read on a chopper to third. Then he gets caught in between and he gets himself thrown out on a poor read on the chopper off the bat of Renjifo. But then it was all for naught because Perkins and saved the day with a 3-run homer, but I just wanted to point out that hustle from William Contreras. He goes 2-for-4 with a double today. He's showing signs of life. He's hitting .295, and it feels like myself included have been a little worried about him at times. he has calmed down those worries very quickly in the last week or so. He's back above a 350 on base percentage. His OPS is back above 750 as well. I expect things to continue going in the right direction for him. A couple of other texts that I've rolled in here as well. Aaron in Illinois, awesome win. I think the Brewers need to prove themselves, hanging with the big dogs. Philly with Sanchez is a big dog. So happy for Perkins. He is still one of my favorite players and probably Miz's favorite player right now too. Of course, helping in the Cy Young race. Well, who goes down for Pratt? And are there any injury updates as well? Let's start with the injury updates. Koenig, I asked Pat Murphy about that on Friday. He says that they're still waiting things out for Koenig. Suggesting, and he didn't say this, I'm saying this, that there may be some more news to come on that front for Koenig during his rehab assignment, because it hasn't exactly gone well for him down in AAA, but he did pitch actually in today's game. That was actually the moment that Cooper was on Hug Watch down there in Nashville. Koenig, an inning, a hit, a run, a walk, and a strikeout. Looking at the velo right now for Jared Koenig in his rehab outing today. Sinker topped out at 94, which is a little lower than you'd expect from Jared, so keeping an eye on that for him. Zastrzyzny, there is no update because this trapezius strain, he's actually not even with the team right now, so something to be figured out there. And Woody, he is going to go on a minor league rehab assignment later this week to decide where to go next. Hopefully he's back against the Braves, maybe against the Reds on this upcoming road trip. This one, on trade conversation, do you think Perkins could be on the way to Philly? They're in need of an outfielder with Adolis Garcia going on the 60-day IL. No, that's why they went and got Derek Hill from the White Sox. And that's why they've got Edmundo Sosa in the outfielder. He's an infielder by trade playing the outfield right now. Some good questions there as well. But the corresponding move for Renjifo, or for Pratt, it could be Renjifo. I will say he, you know, jammed his wrist on a pop-up and he had a foul ball off his front leg. Cooper's on the 40-man roster. You just need to create an active spot on him. You could put Renjifo on the IL with the shin contusion or something like that, and you don't even have to DFA Renjifo, and then you keep that depth around. That could be something that happens, but I think it has something to do with Renjifo. Now, granted, both Ortiz and Hamilton have options. I think the Brewers see both of them as key depth figures on their team, and it probably has something to do with Renjifo for Pratt to come up. Let's hear from Blake Perkins, our player of the game. Perkins chatted with the radio guys after today's victory. He's always such an insightful interview. He's just a kind soul, wouldn't hurt a fly. And we don't play favorites in the media, of course, but as far as a human-to-human goes, I will always be a fan of the human that is Blake Perkins. He spoke with Josh Maurer after the game. Brewers winning 4-0.
Blake, thanks so much for sticking around. We appreciate it.
Yeah, never a bad day when I get to talk to you guys, so glad to be here.
It's always good to have you on as well. Well, let's go to that swing right there. It's a big spot in the game, obviously. You've got two on base and two out. It's only a 1-0 lead at that point in the fourth inning. Tell us about the 1-0 pitch that you got.
You know, kind of the part of the plan was to see him up because he's got, you know, his stuff moves a lot, and when he's commanding at the bottom of the zone, he's hard to touch. So I got a ball up, and he probably didn't mean to throw that, but I was just happy to put a good swing on it, get some good contact, and I mean, I'm never going to complain when it goes over the fence. So,
yeah, no kidding. And who would? And you also then doubled later to knock Sanchez out of this start in the sixth inning. Before I ask you about your personal history with Sanchez, I'm curious about the entire team's approach. Look, this guy had given up 3 runs total in his last 50-some innings coming in. You guys scored 4 against him in just the first 4 innings today. From a lineup-wide approach, how did you have success?
You know, I think that we are a unique bunch of individuals, for sure. We work really good at bats. I don't think we don't chase a whole lot, and we make these pitchers like have to come into the zone. And I think when you can do that consistently, it helps you all together. So I would just credit everybody's just normal approach. I think with Sanchez, mainly we were just, like I said, trying to get him, see him up, and make him throw really good pitches to get us out.
How about yourself? I mean, now everybody listening to this has heard us talking, as they were, I'm sure, on the television broadcasts as well, about how you're now 5-for-6 against Christopher Sanchez. Can you make any rhyme or reason of it, Blake?
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, I don't think so. I think some guys one, you just see better than others, just how it is. There's plenty of other guys that, you know, just have a lot of success about with certain individuals, and it's not anything against him because obviously he's a great pitcher. I faced him a little bit in the minor leagues, so maybe just some extra history helps. But I can't say that it's easy. I just have had six. The results have been good. That makes sense.
Yeah, no question, and they speak for themselves. Brewers shut out the Phillies 4-0 today to win this series. Blake Perkins on with us here. Blake, how about this series win? It was three very different games, but at the end of the day, two shutout wins for your pitching staff. Can you put in perspective what it means to win a series against a ball club like Philadelphia?
Yeah, man. I mean, Philly's a great group of guys. Really competitive games, and our pitching staff has been on top of it, especially after the really tough road trip we had just playing, you know, in Colorado and in Las Vegas. I think being back home is, you know, I don't know. I think it just provides an extra bit of comfort for them, knowing that they had so much success over the road trip to come back into our home ballpark and take this series against a really tough tough team is big. You know, these are the wins that down the road we can look back on and say, you know, we grinded this out and it's put us in a good position towards the end of the season, hopefully.
Let you go with asking you about Kyle Harrison. There's so much that's been said, written ad nauseum about Jacob Mizorowski, rightfully so. Kyle Harrison, if there's a Robin to Miz's Batman, he's been the Robin. He's been amazing this year. Again, six scoreless innings today. Playing behind him, what do you see from Kyle?
I think especially, you know, the last however many starts where he's really turned it up, just filling up the zone. He looks really confident to me out there. He looks like he's in control of his, you know, his body, his pitches, and you can just, I think you can sense that he's exuding that that type of like he knows that he's good and he knows that he's got the ability and he's just honing it in. It's awesome to see. He's commanding, you know, three pitches or four pitches. He's moving in and out, and he's having a lot of success doing that.
The Brewers have the top three. There are some ties here, but the Brewers have the top three NL wins leaders.
Yeah.
Miz and Harrison each have eight, and, of course, Aaron Ashby has nine.
Yep.
He leads the league still. Perk, thanks so much. Congratulations on a great ball game and a great win.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Blake Perkins, great dude. He is just a gem. Just great to talk to. Fellow Arizona dude. Shout out. Anyway, Brewers get the victory 4-0. Let's look around and hear from Pat Murphy as well. Then we'll get to some highlights and then get you ready for the Guardians after an off day coming up. We're going till the bottom of the hour right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
This chat from the YouTube side made me chuckle. You know, we're not technically at sea level. We can see at lake level and lower altitude, but AmFam is 600. I'm joking. That's a joke, Richard. I promise. Because you're right. We are not technically at 0 feet at sea level. You're right. We are about 600 feet up right now. It helps your golfers. It helps out a little bit more air, but the humidity and the more relatively normal altitude of what you're used to. In fact, this is one of my fun little facts that I like to play with people, actually. You know, we all know, number one, Colorado is the highest altitude, and we all know Arizona is number two for highest altitude ballpark. Do you know who's number three? Just think for your second. You will not guess it. Do you know who's the third highest altitude ballpark in baseball? Take a second. Time's up. It's Atlanta. How about that? Isn't that kind of funny? I believe Milwaukee is eighth or ninth, if I saw on that list. Most everybody's right around sea level. Nonetheless, Kyle Harrison was happy to be back near sea level versus 2,000 feet up in Las Vegas. Pat Murphy agrees as well. He thought he pitched well, and Blake Perkins, obviously the star of the show. Murph spoke with the media after a 4-0 victory over the Phillies.
He was really good. You know, he's confident. This is a really good lineup. But he didn't have his best stuff today. I think you guys noticed early he didn't have his best stuff. His best innings were 5 and 6, but he was on point and didn't give up free bases. That's what we need from him. He's starting to understand the standard, and you know, he's doing a great job with it.
get to Sanchez early like Jackson did,
yeah,
first batter, how does that change against a pitcher like that?
Kind yeah.
Of complexion of
that. Well, I mean, it's a great start. Lets the pitcher know that we're ready. You know, we had a definite plan. You can thank the hitting coaches for having a real plan against them. And, it worked out. And then, you know, the big one by Perkins, I couldn't be more happy for that kid who's hit some balls really hard right-handed and came up empty all year long to have that big hit and to know how the team loves him. It's really special.
How's it been for him to stick with it? And I guess also for you to stick with him in those spots when the results haven't been there.
Yeah, but you can't just look at the results when you have a small sample size. You got to look at how he's swinging the bat. And against right-handers, if you go back and look, there's a lot of hard contact. Plus, we need to give some guys a breather. They grind real hard. They play a certain way. And not having to use Bowers, Sal, Bryce, or Yelly, you know, that's important to give them 2 days off. The season starts to get to be really tough, especially as hard as these guys play and as much as we do on the bases and as much as we expect. You know, we're in every ball game, and it doesn't seem like there's too many blowouts either way. So, it's great for that reason, too, to have the Perkins guy, you know, ready and be able to do what he did today. I mean, he's had a good history against Sanchez, and he came up big today.
It's still probably not easy for the player in that spot, man, to be like, oh, I've just been unlucky.
No, he is grinding. He's hurting. It's been horrible for him, I'm sure. But he's been a great guy to everybody else. He's had a great attitude. And, I went up to him in the middle of the game and just told him how happy I was for him, truly happy from my heart for a guy like that whose numbers look horrible and to come through for us once again.
Facing a guy like Sanchez where you know maybe you're not going to get a ton of great pitches to hit from him, does it matter even more to have those big swings than you did?
Huge.
With one or two swings like
huge.
That?
You know, he's shocked by it. You know, when that Perkins ball went out of the yard, the reality set in, like, oof, this isn't going to be a good line for me, you know, what I'm used to. And I don't care how great, and he is great, I don't care how great you are, that gets to you. And he gave him a couple more innings, but it affected him.
We know you're not feeling great, but the Mizorowski and Sanchez both pitching, the three sellouts, what was this weekend like?
Yeah, a lot of medication for me. No, truly, I'm happy for the guys. That's what it's about. You know, I'm happy for the guys to be in a battle like this against a team built for the World Series and that type pitching. And you know, that's what this whole thing's about, is to try to, you know, be in these environments as much as you can and keep your poise and, you know, hopefully win a couple of them, you know.
How are you feeling?
How am I feeling? Great. Couldn't be better.
Has that been off?
No. You don't know what my off days, MRIs and shots and all that kind of stuff. So my off day, but I get to be with my kids, and that's number one. So, don't worry about me. It ain't about me. So we'll get through it. You see how much they needed me, right?
That's Murph, always deflecting. In case you missed it, he did not leave the bench the last 2 days. He has got a bad right hip right now that he's trying to get to the bottom of. So get well soon, Skip, and the Brewers will take it from here. I will say you didn't even notice him today. There were no challenges. There was no pitching changes in the middle of an inning. Murph just put it on autopilot, let Jason Lane and Chris Hook run the show, and it was A-OK. Let's relive it with some highlights. Brewers win 4-0 over the Phillies on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho-ho-ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Rubber match of the series with the Phillies. Brewers sending Kyle Harris into the mound. The Phillies, their ace, Christopher Sanchez, who's been one of the best in baseball this year. Jackson Churio leading off. He doesn't care.
Sanchez, 1-2 pitch to Churio. Is a fly ball to center. Hit well. Going back on it is Hill. Track. Wall. Bye-bye baseball. Jack goes deep. Again. This time off Sanchez, and the Brewers lead it 1-0.
Set the tone early. In fact, each of the first three batters of this game all made contact over 100 miles an hour. 1-0 Brewers after one. Kyle Harrison, he was kind of fighting it the first three innings and really got a gift in the third, facing Kyle Schwarber for a second time.
Runner at first, 3-2. Breaking ball ripped and caught by Vaughn. It's going to be a double play. He snags it out of the air and touches first. No chance for Hill to get back. Inning is over on a screamer.
That ball was scalded at 108 miles an hour. Vaughn in the right place at the right time. Don't know who caught what, but nonetheless, it kept it a 1-0 game. And the Brewers took the good fortune into the fourth inning. It all started with a leadoff infield hustle single by William Contreras. A 3-0 green light by Gary Sanchez put runners on the corners, but Contreras had a base running blunder that allowed Renjifo to reach on a fielder's choice but retire Wild Bill. With two outs, Perkins was up, two men aboard, still just a 1-0 game at this point, looking for a highlight in his season, and he found one.
Sanchez 1-0. Blake hits it high and deep to left field, backing up Sosa, turning, watching, leaping, goodbye! What a big swing, Blake Perkins! It's a two-out, three-run bomb to left in the fourth.
Josh Maurer's call as for Perkins, his first homer of the season. He would even add a double later in the game off of Sanchez. He's 6-for-7 in his career against the Southpaw. Great moment for Blake. Brewers up 4-0. Then Kyle Harrison would cruise from there. He would add his first strikeout of the game, not until the fifth inning. Then added two more in his final frame of work in the sixth. He gets through six shutout, then handed things over to the bullpen. Abner Uribe, just one bloop single in the seventh inning, scoreless there. In the eighth, Ashby was as filthy as usual.
Ashby's 0-2 pitch, and he got him looking. A sinker at 99, dotted the outside corner. Ashby for the couple of strikeouts in a scoreless top of the eighth.
No, he wasn't done. Ashby continues to roll out of the bullpen. Brewers up 4-0. All that's left to do is win the series.
2-0 pitch. Ground ball sharply hit to first. Played on the forehand by Vaughn with a mini slide. Now he slides into the first base bag. And he beats Marsh there. And this ball game is over. The Brewers with their seventh shutout of 2026. And their second shutout of this series. And it propels them to a series victory over the Phillies here this afternoon, winning by a final of 4-0.
How about it? Two shutouts, of course, the near-perfect game by Miz on Friday, and today, Harrison, Uribe, and Ashby combined for the no-no, not allowing a walk. Third time this year the Brewers have done it. Second time this weekend the Brewers have had their pitching staff not allow a walk in a game. Four runs on 10 hits for the crew. They committed one error. Philly, no runs on four hits, one error. Brewers left six on base. The Phillies left five. They did not have an extra base hit in the game. The winner is Harrison. The loser is Sanchez. We will say goodnight after this. Preview the Guardians after the break on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers now 43-26 in their first 69 games of the season. Back to 17 games above 500. First place in the NL Central. In fact, 17 games above 500, one shy of their high, which they had heading into Monday, after Monday's game in Las Vegas. Off day tomorrow, though, so enjoy the home off day here for the crew. Then the Guardians come to town, 6:40 first pitch on both Tuesday and Wednesday night. We're on the air at 6:05 with the on-deck show built by Menards. I will be with you for post-game for both of those contests. Then Thursday is a 1:10 first pitch. We'll be on the air at 12:35. Again, the on-deck show. No post game on Thursday, but we do have Breweries Weekly Thursday night at 8 o'clock, taped once again. I'm sure plenty to talk about the reported move of Cooper Pratt potentially joining the big league team on Tuesday. We will await the corresponding move for what it means for the active roster when we rejoin you on Tuesday. Then the Brewers hit the road. They will head to Atlanta, and then they will head to Cincinnati for Father's Day weekend and then a midweek series there. It's a quick little 9-in-a-row stretch before their next off day next Thursday, and then the Cubbies come to town. It'll be the last homestand of the first half where the Cubs and the Reds will come to town for 7 in a row. Then the Brewers hit the road for 10, a three-city trip to close out the first half. I can't believe we're talking about the end of the first half already here on June 14th. Quick lap around the league. Just about everybody consequential to the Brewers has gone final right now. The Marlins win the series over the Pirates. They've fallen back to 500, and the Marlins have climbed back to 500. 4-2 the final score today for the Fish. Elsewhere in the division, the Twins defeated the Cardinals 5-4 in that contest. Giants did hang on. Logan Webb was terrific. 5-1 over Chicago. 8 innings, not allowing an earned run, no walks, and 7 strikeouts for Logan Webb. Also today, the Reds fell at home. They are the last place team in the division. The Reds fall 5-3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Their bullpen continues to struggle, and Arizona is still hanging on to an above 500 record at this point. Tommy Troy, shout out to him, one of the prospects in the Diamondback system, called up. He hit his second homer of his big league career today. Other games of consequence in the National League. The Nationals, they win a series over the Mariners, 10-1. They're 37-35. They're legitimately in the playoff hunt right now. The Mets take a series over the Braves, 8-1 the final there in Queens. Freddie Peralta took 5 innings and earned the win in that contest. And also here in the National League, how about the White Sox taking a series in the Dodgers? 6-4 the final. Dodgers made it interesting at the end, but Brian Hudson was the opener in that contest. And L.A., they're still playing well. They have the second-best record in the National League. But the White Sox, man, like, the White Sox are fun, you guys. Like, how about that? That sweep over them to start the season is aging better and better by the day. So what a fun weekend here at the Yard. Sellout crowds all 3 games here at American Family Field. Kudos to everybody. 40,000-plus every night. So we hope to see you this Tuesday when the Guardians are here. Again, a 6:40 first pitch at the ballpark. There's only three more series at home for the All-Star break. That will do it for our program here this afternoon. Big thanks to Jerry Augustine and to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Enjoy the off day. Until next time, keep on swinging.